And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith on the radio and how to integrate our faith into all the different areas of our lives. On this show, we like to talk about testimonies and faith journeys, which are intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we like to do on this show. We like to share the Word, and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive it today. We like to start the program with a scripture reading. And I kind of struggled this week where I was going to go on the scripture reading. So I ended up defaulting back to a comfort zone for me, which is Psalm 91. Happens to be, there's so many favorite places in the Bible for me, but Psalm 91 is a very comfortable place for me. It's one of these scripture that just, I think, has spoken to me, is the right way to put it. And I'm going to pick up at the end of Psalm 91. So for our listeners, if you have never ventured to Psalm 91, I would say please go and read it. Today we are going to read it in the what's called the Message Translation. So Psalm 91, we're picking it up. It's just verses 14 to 16. Goes like this. If you hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care if only you get to know and trust me. Call me and I'll answer. I'll be at your side at bad times. I'll rescue you and then throw you a party. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. That's Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16 in the Message Translation. So again, we're going to talk about that verse a little bit on the program. We're going to go a couple other different directions, but thank you so much for joining us. Wanted to remind you that we have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes. We also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia. The American Red Cross needs blood and platelet donors. At this time of year, there is always a decline in donations. To donate and help save lives, visit redcrossblood.org. Big Brother and Big Sister is expanding its mentoring program. For more information on youth enrollment or being a mentor, please visit www.blueridgebigs.org. Come to a winter jazz ensemble concert on Saturday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. in Old Cabell Hall. The Winter Jazz Ensemble is directed by trumpeter and composer John DeEarth. To purchase tickets, visit www.artsboxoffice.virginia.edu. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning with us on the program. Back with us is my friend Joseph Baraxa, who is the chaplain of the Albemarle County Jail. Joseph, thank you so much for being with us today.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I like the new look,
you
too.
Like that?
I mean, you look like a movie star.
It's the grandfather look. I'm like a new grandpa.
It's, if you need to picture who I'm talking to, Joseph looks like Pierce Brosnan himself. The guy's handsome.
I appreciate that. Give me his money, too.
Yeah, man. So I love having you on this show. I love your whole story. Kind of your conversion last time we were on it, we got into that pretty hot and heavy. But I want to talk about one of the places in your life that really intrigues me is how you ended up being the chaplain of the Albemarle County Jail. And so if you could, for our listeners, if you could kind of start there, and then I'm going to pepper you with a bunch of questions.
Sure. That's an intriguing story because I wasn't looking to be the chaplain.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I was just a place in my spiritual life and walk feeling complacent. Not that anybody else understands what that is, but for me, complacency is one of my worst enemies. So sitting in my living room reading out of Matthew 25, and it's the passage where Jesus says, you know, I was thirsty, I was hungry, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was naked, and you did all these things for me, and I was in prison and you came to visit. And I was in prison and you came to visit, and that kept coming back to me, and it just hit me so hard that I couldn't say that. I could not say that I've been to a prison to visit. And he says, as you've done to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done to me. And that hit home for me. So I thought, okay, how? No clue. A couple days later, I end up at my vet's office with my dog, and there's a sign, Good News Jail Prison Ministry, with a phone number on it for the local jail. So I said, oh, what a name on there, too. So I call it, and it was Kathy Redding's number, and I said, who I am, what I'm feeling led to do. Next thing I met, Alonzo Minor. I did a tour. 2 months later, I was volunteering two nights a week. I was preaching on Sundays. And then he asked me if I could do other things in the mornings. I said, absolutely. 2 years later, I'm the chaplain.
Wow.
That quick.
Wow. And how long was Chaplain Minor there?
15 plus years.
Yeah.
I would say he's a good man. I learned a lot from him. Just following him around and listening to him and going to see him, and things that he experienced while there really helped me a ton in the transition.
What do you think Chaplain Minor was so good at for 15 years to have that job and that heart?
He listens very well. He listens a lot, and when he does speak, it's very precise when he was talking to the inmates. Very focused on what he was saying. I always enjoyed that about him. Nice, calm demeanor. Doesn't get excited, unlike me. I'm all over the board. He's very calm, so he was very good for me.
Well, let me talk about this, because this is really interesting to me. You're reading the Bible, and you have this passage, Matthew 25, where you're reading it, but while reading it, God gives you a message. Talk to me about the two-way dialogue that happens.
He just grabbed my heart. Basically, for me, what I felt was him saying, I want you there. I need you to go fight for the souls of those people. That's what I want you to do. And I said, okay. Much like my conversion, believe only in me. Okay. So it wasn't an option, really, at that point.
Wow. So it's, you just read that, and then you say, okay, I'm in. You don't necessarily know how the story's going to go after
no
that.
No clue.
And you end up at the vet's office of all places.
Right.
Do you ever kind of look back on that and say, you know, that God basically planted this sign in the vet's office?
There's no other way to look at it for me. That's exactly what happened.
He planted a sign with the phone number.
I just orchestrated the path, absolutely, because sometimes I need that push. I need the signs, trust me.
Not that he was calling you a meathead or anything.
Well, that's okay if he does, because I'm not the smartest guy or the sharpest tool in the shed. So sometimes I got to get hit a few times, but absolutely was everything that he had put in front of me, that was the path he wanted me down, and what I'm seeing now in there and the things that are happening, the transformation in life. And my own life, my own faith is challenged daily.
All right, well, let me kind of stay on this journey, because I'm just so intrigued by it. You say yes to God when you're reading Matthew 25, and then you're at the vet's office, you see a sign, you feel for sure it's from God, you act on that. Was there ever any doubt that crept in, or all along did you just say, God, I trust you, I'm going with you?
My heart exploded. I knew that's where we wanted. Same when I met my wife, my heart exploded. I knew that was the woman for me. It was that clear.
So you were kind of almost stepping into this divine calling.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And, you know, and to testify of that is what you see going on. I could not orchestrate this. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close to orchestrate any of this, to where I was and to where I'm at.
Okay, so what were you doing before the divine calling hits you, and then the sign, and then you make the phone call? What were you doing then?
Besides making a lot of money. I was a regional sales manager for the East Coast, pretty much. So I was in the air a lot. 9 months out of the year, I was traveling, still doing ministry work on weekends,
yeah.
You know, at the jail, even though I was traveling during the week. and just in sales for a long time, but never got out of doing ministry work per se. Mm-hmm. But that's what I did. I worked with people all the time, got great opportunities to witness to people mm-hmm. while I was traveling. But that's what I did. I was in sales.
And what about the fear of stepping out of sales and making money into the, you know, basically your ministry, your calling, the fear of stepping out of that and stepping into the divine calling? No fear or lots
zero.
Of,
I know that's hard to believe. Yeah. It was just like, this is the new adventure. Close this door. Mm-hmm. And this is the door he wants me to go down.
Yeah.
My wife even commented, how do you not feel any kind of fear towards that? Because for me, it's, if he's calling me here, he's going to sustain that. Why would he send me somewhere if he's not going to sustain that mm-hmm. that mission?
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Then that's incongruent thinking in my mind, that he would just throw me out there and then leave me naked or alone. I don't see that.
So the whole thing about God providing.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting to me. That's like, he's, what a call. What to say, hey, I want you to go fight. Yeah, I'm there, man. I'm on the assault. I like being on the assault. And he's already preparing the path. He's already moving the people to be there. He's already prepping things. So why am I going to worry about this other stuff? Because the enemy would probably want me to do that, to distract me from the mission or the vision he's given me to go there to fight for those souls. So it never really hit me like fear. I haven't had that.
Well, this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have the chaplain of the Charlottesville Albemarle Jail with us on the program, Joseph Varroxa. Joseph, we're heading towards the break, but I want to hit you with this. So you're volunteering. Mm-hmm. You make the phone call. No, let me back it up in case you're just tuning into the show. Joseph's reading Matthew 25. He feels like it's a message from God to get involved in prison ministry. He then goes to the vet, sees a sign at the vet. You can volunteer at the, what was the name?
Good News Jail and Prison Ministry.
Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. Here's the phone number. We're a big, big print I'm envisioning here. You make the phone call. Now you're volunteering. Walk me through, as we head towards the break, volunteer to full-time chaplain. How does that happen?
I make a call to Kathy. She gets me hooked up with Alonzo Minor. I say who I am. He says, come on and do a tour. He gives me a private tour, a personal tour. And then I apply. I go to orientation. And within 2 months, I get my badge and I'm in. So I'm doing, he needs someone to preach Sunday nights. So I just start preaching. And then I ask him, what else do you need? If I'm in town, I can do these days, and these days.
Okay, so you still have your full-time
I'm still working full-time,
job.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so you're just kind of filling in the cracks.
Absolutely.
Of, with your, what you feel like is your divine calling. Okay, now get me to the moment where that switches from, here's the door open, now you're going to be the chaplain. How does that happen?
That was crazy as well, because there were certain things just going on. The load was getting pretty heavy, I could see, and I felt that Alonzo needed more help. It was just a heavy workload. So I thought, what else can I do? Let me give more to that. And then I think he just decided to step down at some point. He was getting older, probably wanted to be with his grandchildren, more time with his wife. I don't know all of that, other than it looked like maybe he was going to step away. And Good News basically asked me if I would consider taking over. There wasn't another candidate to interview. I went through the interview process. I went through everything. It went through like clockwork. I went through multiple interviews, and then I was offered the position.
Are you still close with Chaplain Minor today?
I haven't seen him in a while. I would love to see him.
Yeah. So take me back to when, and we're almost at the break, but you show up. And Chaplain Minor sees you. Do you think he saw something like right away in your eyes that this guy is a freak and I'm going to have
I think
him.
He did, yes.
But did he know that you were going to be so freakish that you weren't going to go away? Because a lot of people say they want to do something. Oh, I want to volunteer at this. I want to volunteer at that. And it's one and done, or maybe two, or maybe they're in it for a month. And you keep coming back.
Always. And he always smiled every time he saw me walk, and he'd have this big grin that he had. And it always encouraged me, inspired me that he really wanted me there. I think he really needed me there, and he saw that I really was called to this, to help in this particular ministry. And I think it was a blessing for him in a sense that he just had a heavy load, mm-hmm. and I was there to help support him.
Mm-hmm. You know? So there was obviously a sense of relief.
Absolutely.
So you were probably, if you connect all the dots, and we're almost at the break here, but you were probably the result of answered prayer for people that were praying around him for his ministry.
Absolutely.
Because 15 years, you got to be exhausted.
Oh, he's amazing. I don't know how he did it for as long as he did.
Yeah.
And he had to do. I mean, just it's heavy.
And in walks Joseph, fresh off of the poster at the vet that says, call this number. And here he is. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We've got so much more to talk about. Please stay with us. We'll be right back in just a moment with more of our interview with Joseph Faraxa, who is the chaplain of the Charlottesville Alamo Jail.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia. Jefferson Area Girls Softball League has opened 2019 spring registration for all girls who live in the Albemarle County and or the City of Charlottesville District. For more info, visit tshq.bluesombrero.com. The Paramount Theater and the Frank Batten School of Leadership and Public Policy proudly present White House correspondent April Ryan. She will be the keynote speaker at the 2019 Community MLK Celebration on Wednesday, January 30th at 6:30. Are you ready for your Valentine's Day kiss? On Saturday, February 9th, you can smooch the pooch at Natural Pet Essentials for their fourth annual Kissable Kissing Booth fundraiser. 100% of the proceeds of this event will benefit Peaceful Passing Senior Animal Rescue of Fluvanna. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. My friend Joseph Faraxa, who is the minister of the and chaplain of the Charlottesville Albemarle Jail, is on the program. My good friend Joe Thomas is going to have to steal the mic back from me because we might just keep this interview going for like two more hours. And so Dave Ramsey, he can wait, but no. I've got Joseph on the show. Joseph, okay. Now, you've given us how God opened the door for you to be the chaplain of the Charlottesville Albemarle Jail. Now, talk to me a little bit, if you would, and our listeners. So you're all charged up. You get me all excited. Everybody gets energy off of you. But is there in the day-to-day of going in and ministering into the prison, are there highs and lows? Are you able to keep it pretty even? Talk to us about kind of what happens to you.
The even part's tough. I'm still trying to figure that out. It's very heavy. It's all I can say. It can get extremely heavy. You know you're in a battle the second you come through the door.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. I can feel that. Staying up is it's a natural thing. I like staying up. I like staying positive. I see the power of the gospel and the power of the Spirit working through there, but the enemy's constantly there as well. So, and if people think that's not true, you need to open your eyes. There's so much stuff in there. And like one gentleman once told me, the inmates are not our enemy, but the enemy has them captive. And so you look at it like that, okay, how do I pierce that? So, but the heaviness for me is getting better because I have people I could talk to now. I wasn't sure who I could talk to about what. You got to be very careful. Mm. I didn't even talk to my own wife. There were 3 days there, I think I locked myself in the room, and just because I didn't know how to deal with what I was dealing with. Mm. And she was so worried about me, she didn't know what to do either. So I've changed that since. I don't want to bring it home, but it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. Haven't found a solution yet, other than I have a lot of people praying for me on a daily basis. But I need those folks, those guys I can talk to that can help get me off the ledge sometimes, because it's hard.
You were telling me at the break about this new program. Can you go on the air at all and talk about the, what would you call it, the Scholar?
Scopus.
Scopus.
It's a program that it's just being developed. It's the director of programs, Officer Dillon, came to me and said, hey, we'd like to consider creating a program within one of the cell blocks, which I did. And what it's designed to do is we're creating a 16-week course for inmates who want to learn and study more of the Bible. not only just to learn it, but enhance their spiritual life, their knowledge, so they can teach and lead others no matter where they land. Mm. Because 90 to 95% are coming back into the community. So why not give folks hope or some desire to keep moving forward instead of keep coming back?
Right.
Recidivism is, I don't even want to go down that path. So that's my thought process. And with that process, maybe start approaching churches and businesses that if an inmate comes with one of these Scopus certificates, they will say, yes, we'll help you write a resume. Yes, we'll give you food. We have certificates, the food line. We'll give you $100 to make sure you have food to eat. Others may say, we can help you with transportation. Again, it's just in the beginning stages, because one of the inmates said, what good is it me getting a certificate if I walk out the door and I have nowhere to go, mm-hmm. or I have no way to keep moving forward? I don't have any skills. Mm. What's the life application? So that got me thinking. So a bunch of us are together. A few guys have put together the curriculum. And then we're also talking about reaching out. I've already reached out to some churches and maybe some businesses to see if they buy into this.
Right.
But the teaching is deeper. It's 7 classes a week. And I did one this morning. It was pretty intense. So it's, the guys want to learn, and the ladies as well. So we're going to try and apply that to the female side if this works out. It's just a prototype.
I have a kind of a change of subject question, but it just popped in my head. Suppose that some of our listeners either know somebody who's in jail, or it's a relative, friend, whatever, you know somebody. Let me ask you from your perspective, what's the best way for us on the outside to love them? Like how do you love somebody? how do you do that? What's the best and most effective way to do that?
Well, I invite people to take a tour with me. I do it every third Wednesday of the month. Mm-hmm. Just call me, say, hey, I'd like to do a look behind the walls tour, eye-opening. Mm-hmm. And at that point, most people will say, I want to help, but I don't want to ever go back in there. So they'll volunteer other ways, either help with fundraising, or they'll just donate money, or they'll become a sponsor with me. Or if I need coats, they'll be part of a group that will get winter coats or cards, Christmas cards, things like that. There's always something you can do. People think, well, I don't know how to teach, or I don't know how to do this. Well, you know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're able to get groceries. We're able to get a backpack to put stuff in. So when people are walking from the facility to the bus depot, they have a backpack with some items in it, so they can at least have something to wash, brush your teeth, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So there are a variety of ways. And then just invite me to speak at your group or small group or whatever it is, so I can give you a picture of what this looks like, and then we can talk about ways to help. Mm. But initially it would be just contact me and let's take a walk behind the walls.
Nice.
Take a look at it.
Nice. I have so many questions to ask you, but I want our listeners
have all the answers.
Well, now I want our listeners to get a little flavor of this, because we don't have time at all for a deep dive on this, but I have listened to you numerous times now break down the gospel, and John chapter 4, the woman at the well. If could you just take that story for some of our listeners who maybe they're not familiar with that story? Put it in your own words, and just in a couple of minutes, put a little bit of that in your own words, and take it wherever you want, and just kind of introduce somebody to that from Joseph Firoxa's.
Oh gosh, I'm Italian, so a few words.
I'll cut you off when it's time.
Do that. It's fascinating to me about that story, because I when I first presented inside the walls to a class and we were done, and you know, and the woman meets Jesus at the well, in you know, the beginning of the story, he needs to go into Samaria, and the verb used there, it's not like he needs to go through Samaria to get to the north Galilee where he was headed. It was a mission oriented. It's a must needs. There was a purpose for him going through there, and it was to meet that woman, the woman of ill repute, the woman who has to draw water in the middle of the day where the rest of the women are probably drawing in the morning. So we know her reputation's probably not that good to begin with. She's Samaritan. All the odds are against her, and yet he meets her right where she's at. Mm-hmm. And he has this discussion and reveals to her that he's the Messiah. And she drops her water jug, and she runs back to the town. And her story is so compelling that an entire town comes out despite her reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk to the inmates, despite your train wreck or my train wreck, do you believe God can still use you? Yes, despite that. Mm. Something transformed in her. Her countenance must have changed. Something those people saw in her in that town drew them out to meet the Messiah. But the one guy at the end of the study, he was just sitting down at the end of the table looking down. I said, you okay? He goes, she left the jug. I said, yeah, that was her life source, the water. What was she thought? He goes, that's my drugs. Mm. Pot reminds me of my drugs.
Wow.
He said, I need to leave it. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, you do. Mm. We ended up praying for that gentleman, and it put a whole new light on how Jesus meets people where they're at, despite you think God can't use you mm-hmm. because of whatever your past is or whatever that is. And that's not true. Our God is much bigger. His love is on a different scale. His forgiveness is on a different scale. And what he can do with our lives to move forward and be used by him. And I'm a great example, okay, despite the past, can use people in a way that's mighty. And it's just an honor. So I encourage people, don't ever think you can't be used, because that's not true.
That's what I'd like that you're so good at when you break down the gospel. You're able to kind of take this story, words written on a page, and then you're able to explain how the gospel has touched you, and then you're able to kind of flip the switch and invite the listener, whoever you're sharing it with, is that this isn't just words on a page. This is something that can change the complete trajectory of your life.
Well, I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe it. There's nothing not to believe about it. So I don't, again, living proof. It's not, you know, words are, anybody could talk about whatever they want to talk mm-hmm. about. But if God is active in your life, and when I see the transformation in the countenance, you can't fake that. Mm. You can't fake the look on a person's face when God is transforming them and their heart's been changed. And I see that all the time in there. So that's not fake. That's real. Mm-hmm. So, and he uses that. And the spirit cannot be contained. And those folks inside can be a beacon of light to the rest of those in the facility. And
you know,
that's what I encourage. So.
I have something else that pops out to me at this gospel passage. And I've read it. And I love the story. And each time I have a visit with John chapter 4, I see a different perspective on it. But sometimes I see, you know, there's Jesus alone with the woman at the well who's been married, is it five times?
What's not her husband, that's right.
Yeah, so she's there midday. She's kind of sneaking her way to the well when, you know, I'm sure all of the proud townspeople got to go and get the fresh water, and she has to go in the noonday sun. But what I see sometimes, the disciples come up to Jesus, and I think they almost, in a loving way, they almost bully him, saying, hey, Jesus, you're kind of talking to the wrong person here. Like, do you know who you're talking to? You're supposed to talk to the mayor of the town. Do you know who you're talking to?
Well, where do they go? They went shopping, because they knew they couldn't eat with her.
Yeah.
Right? She was Samaritan. They couldn't share the same utensils. She says, where's your jug to draw water? And they're on the sidelines wondering, what's he doing? And yet it was that woman, not the disciples, that got the people to come out and meet Jesus.
Oh.
Right?
Love it.
Yeah. No, that's a powerful story. So, yeah. I mean, we could preach all day if you want. I know our time's limited. But
no, we're going to keep going. You're going to have to pull the mic. But no, Joseph, I appreciate you so much being on the show. For our listeners, it's Joseph Baraxa. He is the minister of the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail. Contact him, support him, pray for him. And in fact, brother, I'm going to pray for you right now. So, Joseph, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Joseph, you're the real deal, and you're an inspiration to a lot of us. We're going to keep praying for you hard.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And all of our listeners, thank you again for tuning in. Again, it's Joseph Baraxa, Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail. Pray for my brother. And thank you all so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks again. God bless.